Hello, Western Wisconsin. Let's see what we're up to. This is Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross, and along with Jim Oliver, Tiffany Coggins, Dean Kallenbach, Ashley Suku, I have the privilege of bringing you the arts, music, and culture of Western Wisconsin each week. Today, we'll meet Wisconsin publishing giant Roy Ryman, the head and the heart behind many of your favorite magazines. Subscribe to because of their down-home feel and easy, comfortable reading. We caught Greg Keel on the road. He was kind enough to share his understanding and reverence for the Shell Lake Art Center summer camps. There is a superfluity of those. Jim Oliver sits down with founder and director Wayne Merrick for a look at all that's emanating from the Eau Claire Children's Theater. I stumbled into Mac Cherry the other day. Good thing I did. I mean, there's a really big river radio wave coming to Alma Saturday evening. And you know, when you want outdoor music in the summer, Owen Park in Eau Claire is one of the busiest places to be. One group who's been gracing the band shell there for a whole bunch of years is the Eau Claire Municipal Band. Kelly Simon is a writer at RCU by day. By some evenings, she's a clarinet player in that band, and their season is about to begin, so I invited Kelly to the studio for a chat, beginning with letting her know how much I admire people who play the clarinet. When you begin to play the clarinet, you screech a lot.
Yes, you do.
Isn't that discouraging?
Only to your parents.
I suppose it's a challenge for the clarinet player. You have to get to the point where you're not screeching?
Yes. Your band director generally tells you eventually you will sound good.
What makes it screech?
It's the reed. You have to have pressure on your reed so that when you're first learning, your mouth really isn't used to it, and you can just do some pretty good squeaks.
It sounds like a goose, actually.
Yes, it does. It does sound like, my son thinks it's a goose.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've been playing for a long time, and every now and then the goose still comes out.
So those darn reeds. This is 2014. Haven't they come up with a reed that doesn't goose?
I haven't found it yet, but that's half the challenge.
Are reeds still wood?
Yes.
Or are they synthetic now?
Most of them are wood.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, the Eau Claire Municipal Band is moving to Wednesdays. What's the history behind the change?
Well, it's always been on Thursday, but as things have been developed in Eau Claire, Thursdays have started getting crowded. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in Phoenix Park. And so a lot of times what the Municipal Band plays goes to the same kind of audience as what's going on Thursday nights.
Oh, sure.
In Phoenix Park.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we decided that, you know, instead of having to make people choose, you know, Wednesday night, there was really nothing going on. Why don't we, you know, try switching? So we're going to give it a shot this year.
So now you're smack dab between the blues and
Phoenix
Park.
And what a great opportunity for the people in Eau Claire, because now you really don't have an excuse to not have anything to do on a summer evening, because you've got blues on Tuesdays, the Municipal Band on Wednesdays, and Phoenix Park on Thursdays.
Three nights, wow.
Three nights of partying in the park.
But see, you know what that does is that makes your summer go fast. I always say what you need to do is sit and just look at the clock during the summer so that it goes slowly.
Well, when you have the kickoff of all of those events, summer has started.
Yes, you're right.
You know, when Express starts playing and all of that.
You're right.
It's good.
I'm just trying to make conversation. What's your personal history with the band, Kelly?
I went to UWEC, and I lived on First Avenue, and I started listening to the performances in the park. So I always thought, wow, it's really neat that Eau Claire has a band that they give free concerts for. And when I graduated and started working here, that was one of the first things I wanted to do, is see how you become a member of that band. So I've been in the band off and on for 14 years.
That's impressive.
Yeah, well, and what surprised me when I first joined is if you kind of do an informal survey of the people who are part of that band, a lot of them have been in there for years. I remember I sat next to Bud Morgan of Morgan Music, and he had been in the Municipal Band for about 50 years. So it's just crazy the amount of time that some people have been a part of that band.
It's like 112 years old.
It is. It's crazy. We've had it for a long time.
So now as a member, and you also, we should point out, are a board member, do you feel that heritage? Do you feel like there's a legacy that you have to uphold? Do you walk out kind of proud?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you're playing.
Because you don't have any members that were there at the first concert.
No, we don't. No. It's one of those things that it's a hidden gem in Eau Claire. That we've got that beautiful Owen Park, the band shell, the Sarge Boyd band shell that's on the historic registry. And there's just something pretty neat about being able to play John Philip Sousa and all of the songs that people recognize. America the Beautiful. We always end our concerts with America the Beautiful.
Yeah. The
majority of the music that we play, you're going to recognize. And so that's just kind of a neat feeling to know that you're part of that history of Eau Claire.
Tell us about Brad Stoughton, because it takes some dedication to be the director.
Yes, it does. Brad is a great director. He definitely brings humor to our practices, and he does a lot of research on the different songs that we play, where they originated, and some of the neat history behind it. And I think that's kind of neat, too, kind of like a mini musical education for our audience. So that's neat.
Cool. She's in the studio with us. Her name is Kelly Simon, and she's a member of the Eau Claire Municipal Band. She's also a member of the board, and she is a clarinet player. We've established that already. A very good one, as a matter of fact. Give us an idea, Kelly, what it's like to be in the band. What's the commitment? What kind of rehearsal schedules do you have and that kind of thing?
Well, we're putting on 8 concerts, and so we are definitely a fast-moving band. We practice our music on Mondays, and we will play it on Wednesdays. Mm. So we have a different repertoire of music every week, and so we just started last night was our first rehearsal, and then we'll have another rehearsal next Monday, and then our first concert will be Wednesday, June 11th. And as a musician, it really keeps you on your toes because you see the music once or twice, and then you're playing for an audience 2 days later. So it's very fun.
What's the Eau Claire Municipal Band like in the fall and the winter and the spring?
The municipal band itself doesn't do anything in the off season, but a lot of the people that play in the municipal band also play in the Chippewa Valley Concert Band, or they're playing in ensembles. So I've been in the band for 14 years. You get to know a lot of the different people. Some of the musicians are musicians like me. I got my clarinet in the 6th grade, and I just played in the marching band. My parents are really happy it paid off for them. I'm not a musical educator or anything. I just thought it would be really neat to pick it up and play again. But then there's others in our band who are musical educators. They're band directors from Fall Creek, Augusta, around the different area.
Sure.
And so they look at playing in the band as keeping up with their talent, and they're very talented musicians. And so that's kind of the neat thing, too. You get a mix of people who are members of the band. So you have those people who practice very hard. They know anything that you can know about music. And then there's people like me who look at it as a hobby. We have high school students, college students, a lot of retirees that just want to pick up their instrument again. And
So anyone can be in it?
Anyone can be in it. You do have to not squeak.
Screech or honk.
Screech or honk or anything.
You inject guests every once in a while in concerts, don't you?
We do. Brad does a great job of trying to get guest vocalists. So okay. We try to have a guest vocalist every concert. We also have done different things with, like, the Corvette Club will come and have their show at the same time as our band.
Oh, there you go.
You know, it's so nice down in Owen Park when you're sitting there underneath the trees. And the nice thing about how Owen Park is set up is when you're watching the band concert, the sun's at your back. It's generally really nice and mild. You're sitting in a nice seat. We tend to have nonprofits come and sell things like ice cream and apple pie and
wow.
Things like that. So it really becomes a really nice experience for the summer.
And what would the 4th of July be without band music?
Absolutely.
Stars and Stripes Forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
All of those patriotic songs that, you know, sometimes you don't hear very often on the radio, that's one of the things that the municipal band will play. You're generally going to recognize pretty much everything that we're going to play. Sometimes we highlight Wisconsin composers, and so there will be things that you might not have heard before, but we try to really look at the talent that we've got in the Chippewa Valley and use that talent.
Sounds like you are having fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Good.
We
were
very excited to have our first rehearsal last night, and we're really looking forward to our concert next week. It'll be good music.
It will be. I appreciate you stopping by, Kelly.
Thank you very much.
Kelly Simon, the Eau Claire Municipal Band. You know, the other day, while in Eau Claire, I walked into Starbucks to grab something liquid, and lo and behold, Providence dictated that I run into none other than Mac Cherry, host of the popular Big River Radio Wave, the music comedy variety special heard periodically here on WPR.
Mac Cherry.
Al Ross, is that you?
How are you, man?
Who would have thought that I'd find you at a Starbucks in Eau Claire? Sorry, are you living out in the parking lot again?
Let's find a seat. I want to talk to you about Saturday's show.
Oh, okay.
Let's go up to that deck there for a minute.
Oh, okay.
Geez, what a creative place this is. I hear that you have a Big River Radio Wave coming up Saturday.
You know, I hesitate to say this because we've had some really tremendous shows, but I think this is going to be the very best show ever. Mm-hmm. In Alma at the Big River Theater. That's right.
Well, let's define that. Why is that?
Well, for one thing, you'll be there. And besides that, joining you will be the Riverbenders, the Mighty Riverbenders.
Change the name, did you?
Well, as we get older, we're trying to think of different ways to enhance the image. And just by changing the name helps. Speaking of Mighty, a mighty blues legend, well-known throughout the upper Midwest and the nation, and he's done a couple European tours. In fact, he toured with Clyde Stubblefield in the mid-90s.
Clyde has played on a couple of his CDs.
He has. And so it's Howard Guitar Lickey will be a part of the show. A great young comedian from the Twin Cities, Ben Sandell, is going to be joining us as well. Reggie McLeod, publisher, editor of Big River Magazine.
What's he going to talk about?
He is going to talk about the Big River, which down by us we call the Mississippi. The Big Muddy. Yeah.
Old Man River.
Okay, he does know everything about the Mississippi River that you want to know. Mm-hmm. He'll be on the show. We also have a lovely young talent whose name is Natalie Steiner, one of the finalists in the Wisconsin Poetry Reading, Poetry Out Loud, I believe it was. She's going to join us for a couple little excerpts. So we're going to have just about too much show for your entertainment dollar, too much value.
This is the first show of 2014, and it's going to be heard statewide on Wisconsin Public Radio. When will that be?
That will be Friday, July 4th, and I believe it's a 6 p.m. airtime. Check that for sure. But, yeah, that'll be the statewide broadcast.
I got to tell you, I am so happy to have run into you. What a coincidence. I was wondering when your first show was coming up, and,
yeah. Well, like
and now you're telling me I'm going to be at it.
But, yeah, this was total kismet.
And, you know, I've seen it happen before. It's dangerous hanging out with Mac Cherry.
Isn't that Mac Cherry?
Oh, my gosh, I think that's Mac Cherry.
Oh, my gosh.
Ah, yes. Fun to fictionalize every once in a while here on Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross. Thanks for being with us today.
Support also comes from Klinger Farm Market, a fresh produce market and greenhouse in business for over 100 years. Open year-round with hardy homegrown plants, vegetables, and flowers. Each change of season brings change to the farm. More at KlingerFarmMarket.com.
All righty, if I can keep it up here on the stand, I will give you a Spectrum memo. Tomorrow evening at the Mabel Tainter in Menominee, Friday, it's jazz and wine at the Mabel, music by Take Two Day. And then later, coming up in June, that's June 27th and 28th, it's The Gales of November, a dramatic musical about the Edmund Fitzgerald. Another musical is coming mid-July, the last 5 years. You can check on it all at the website, MabelTainter.org. Oh, good then. Paper sticking up there. Coming up Friday at the Northern Lakes Center for the Arts in Amory, the historical exhibit Rural Artists of Wisconsin. That opens at 7:30 p.m. It'll be up through July 16th. The Menominee Singers present concerts Friday at 7:30 p.m. at Shepherd of the Hill Church in Elk Mound. Sunday, 4 p.m., St. Joseph Church in Menominee. The theme is The Language of Love. Good to have you with us on the good ship Spectrum West today. The schedule at the Eau Claire Children's Theater is full, and the human energy for which they're well known continues to impress. Enough so that Jim Oliver invited founder and director Wayne Merrick to bring us up to date.
1776 is a musical with music and lyrics by Sherman Edwards and a book by Peter Stone. It premiered on Broadway in 1969 and ran for 1,217 performances. The production was nominated for 5 Tony Awards and won 3, including the Tony Award for Best Musical. The show was made into a film of the same name in 1972. The Eau Claire Children's Theater will stage 1776, beginning next Thursday and running through Sunday at the Oxford Theater in Eau Claire. Here to talk about the show is Wayne Merrick, founder and executive director of the Children's Theater and director of 1776. Thanks for coming by. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
let's talk about the show.
Sounds good. The title kind of gives it away. Definitely a history piece, a period piece, dealing with the signing of the Declaration of Independence. You mentioned that it won a Tony Award for Best Musical. It is really quite the unique show in that, unless you really didn't pay attention in class, you know how the show ends. Mm-hmm. But strangely enough, you get partway through the show and you start really questioning whether it's going to happen or not. I mean, it is well written enough that you start to really question, like, I don't think they're going to get this thing signed. And we have done the show before, and I find myself still pulled into that story and kind of watching how it progresses, going, oh, yeah, I do know how this ends. But, you know, the music certainly adds a lot to it, but the writing is really well done. And it really just draws you into that story and how this was not an easy task. I mean, we all know how it ended, but the struggle to get all these people and their individual pursuits and their ideas together to sign one document to really launch a country is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm.
There are only two female characters in the show, so I was kind of wondering, given the difficulty many community theater groups have in attracting men to audition, how did it go for this show?
We actually have done the show twice, and both times have been fortunate to not have to struggle much mm-hmm. As far as attracting the performers or casting. There is really no dance in the show. So I think that is something that attracts the men that want to be in a musical but are hesitant to dance. That kind of eliminates that barrier to being in the show. It's a show that doesn't get done all that often, so it's an opportunity to do the show. And you don't get to do a show with, you know, a large male cast, so that was attractive to some people. Just it's kind of cool. You don't see a lot of shows like that.
Well, you last produced the show in 2009, so why are you doing it so soon?
We wanted to do a couple encore performances for the 25th anniversary, mm-hmm. Which we have done some of those throughout this year, and we decided that this would be a good one to bring back. There was a lot of interest from a number of the performers from the last cast who are now back in this cast. Many of them reprising most of the lead roles mm-hmm. Are returning. So there's just a lot of interest in doing the show again. It's a perfect summer show. Both times we've done it in June. Happens to fall over Flag Day and Father's Day and all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. It seemed like a good opportunity. And we are actually doing it at the Oxford, where the last time we did it at the Masonic Temple downtown.
Now, you've got some special gimmicks. Gimmicks is a bad word, but anyway, you got some stuff going on for the performances, for gifts for people. And
yep, specials. And, you know, I was trying to find ways to encourage people to come in. So, like mm-hmm. we said, you know, there's a little Flag Day gimmick with, you know, wear red, white, and blue on Flag Day, and you'll get a little special treat and some stuff for Father's Day, you know, for encouraging dads to come in with some complimentary beverages and drawings for prizes and things like that. So, anything to kind of tweak people's interest.
Mm-hmm, sure. So who are the principal actors, characters?
Yep. Steve Turk is back playing Ben Franklin. Joel Breed is John Dickinson, one of the major antagonists in the show. Adam Kranich-Conde is back again as John Adams. His wife, Aurora, is playing his wife in the show again, Abigail Adams. Jason Lynn plays Edward Rutledge from South Carolina, which really throws the debate into turmoil because it's a humongous debate over including slavery clause mm-hmm. in the Declaration of Independence, and that happens to be one of the issues or clauses that almost sinks the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about, is there a musical director for the show? Or?
Yes, it actually happens to be Adam.
Oh, okay.
Who's in it as well as directing the music. Julie Mikowski's conducting the pit, and Dan Newman is our rehearsal accompanist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's move on to there's some more to come in this season.
Oh, we're not quite done yet with this anniversary season. So, yeah, actually in July we have the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which is a new show for us. Couldn't resist doing it because it's our 25th anniversary, so it made sense to pick that title. Mm-hmm. But that is another kind of small cast adult show mm-hmm. Coming up in July. But the big push for the summer and is the end of the season at the end of July with the musical Shrek. And that's the big one that everybody's probably pretty excited to see.
He is Wayne Merrick, who is director of the Eau Claire Children's Theater production of 1776. How about next season? Have you got next season going yet?
I always
give you the business about when your season ends and starts, but
It doesn't really end. I guess Shrek is the end of July, and we've got a couple small things coming up in August, but it doesn't really kick in again until September. But we have what I think is a really solid season coming up. a bunch of new shows for us with Broadway musicals and a nice selection of school matinee and family/kid shows. I guess some of the bigger titles would be the Broadway musical Jekyll and Hyde coming up in October. Disney's Beauty and the Beast will be back with us in November. We'll be looking at Sleeping Beauty come next spring in February. In March, we're looking to secure the rights for Mary Poppins. We get to the summer, and we will be doing West Side Story, which is a show that we have not done for, I can't even tell you how long. I think 1999 was the last time we mounted the show. It was our 10th anniversary, I believe. So those will be the main, you know, placeholders in the season. Lots of smaller shows, Arthur's Halloween, Laura Ingalls Wilder Christmas, Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, Good Night Moon. One of our season extras will be Cabaret, which we have not had the opportunity to mount, but are looking forward to doing that. So kind of the same collection of kids' book titles, musicals, Broadway musicals, a couple edgy shows, and then all of the other fundraising and special events scattered in there.
I was curious, you do just a tremendous number of shows through the course of a year. Are you the guy who selects all of them, or do you have somebody who works with you? Or
we actually, the process starts in November. So even though the season will only be a couple months old, we'll be looking at the next season. So in November, we do a lot of surveying with school teachers in the area, our tech crew, our volunteers, through different survey mechanisms to find out show titles that they might like to see us to do, school matinees that the teachers might like to come to, book titles that are kind of hot and popular right now. So we compile all that information, start seeing what's available, what's out there, and then using those survey results maybe as the starting point for laying out a season by trying to include a number of the, you know, top vote getters in those surveys, and then just balancing that out with the size of the shows, casting, you know, small shows versus big shows, availability of dates at the state, and all of that kind of stuff. And then gradually, usually by February, a season is set.
You always have a summer theater classes program, and you told me you were just welcoming new interns in.
Right. Yep.
And so talk a little bit about your, you know, first of all, the theater classes,
sure.
when you can register, when you start, and then get into the internship program.
Summer classes start June 16th. Registration, you know, the soft deadline was the end of May, the 30th. But we just keep taking registrations until the classes are either are filled or canceled one way or the other, I guess. Mm-hmm. There are some classes that are already full, but we are still, you know, even today we had registrations coming in. So just give us a call, check on a class, see if it's still open. A lot of times the June classes will be full, but the July classes aren't quite as full because people are kind of waiting or they'll sign up, you know, in June sometime for July.
Sure.
And we have classes all the way through mid-August. We have classes at the Oxford, and then we also do a whole series of classes in August at the Heide Center for those people in Chippewa and up north that don't want to drive to Eau Claire or whatever. So, but there's classes for ages 3 to 18, a wide variety. I think there's about 50 classes this summer. So lots to pick from, and hopefully it's a good way to get your feet wet in theater. And some of those classes tie in with our internship program because we have this summer we have 5 interns. We offer internships in the summer as well as the fall and spring semesters as well. In the summer, we always have more interns, and most of the interns are from out of the area, so they're not only from, like, Stout or Eau Claire. We have some graduates. One of our interns is a graduate from Beloit. Somebody's coming over from Lawrence. So we have people from kind of the upper Midwest that apply and spend the summer with us in the areas of costuming, tech theater, marketing, education, and house management, graphic design, those areas. So I have a nice core of interns this summer that we just got going.
Let me clarify this a little bit. Are the interns involved in running the classes during the summer? Do you have
one of the interns is an education intern.
Okay.
And they're tasked with teaching many of the classes. But because we have so many classes, our outreach coordinator teaches a number of them. I teach a number of the performance classes. We have another university music major that has been teaching classes for about 3-4 summers. So between all of us, we cover all the classes.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of work to me. Well, we've been visiting with Wayne Merrick, who is director of the Eau Claire Children's Theater production of 1776. The show opens next Thursday and plays through Sunday at the Oxford Theater in Eau Claire. For ticket information, you can go to the Children's Theater's website. Wayne Merrick, you're always a joy to talk to. Thanks for coming in.
And thank you, Jim Oliver, as Spectrum West continues. Tuesday Night Blues at Owen Park in Eau Claire, June 10th, Sparky and Friends. Music starts at 6:30. Thursday night, that's tonight if you're listening on Thursday, Sounds Like Summer Concert Series, Phoenix Park, Eau Claire, Mara Dean, The Michael Rambo Project, and Matt Wall will be there. From UW Eau Claire, next Monday at Owen Park, music by Jonathan Sunday, and Wednesday, catch the movie Inception on the lawn west of the Haas Fine Arts Center. Chill on the Hill at UW River Falls begins Tuesday, June 24th, and that features the Chris Silver Band. Thursday night, again, tonight, if you're listening Thursday, at Memorial Park in Ladysmith, the Music in the Park series presents Joe's Music Kids. The band is called Pure Silver, all students of Joe's Music. The chances are very good that at one time you've held a Ryman Publications magazine in your hand. In fact, 1 in 10 American households subscribes to things like Taste of Home, Birds and Blooms, Country Woman, Reminisce, and the latest, Our Wisconsin. The patriarch of Ryman Publications is Roy Ryman, a writer and entrepreneur who began with a manual typewriter on a TV tray and parlayed it into a very successful corporation, financially and philosophically. All by doing things simply, surprisingly, and sensibly, all without advertising pages. The bottom line was built on subscriptions alone. Now, it should be pointed out that today Roy Ryman holds a stake in only Our Wisconsin, which, because of the publishing climate today, does feature some advertising. He started it after discovering retirement without publishing wasn't much fun. The rest of the Ryman empire was sold to other entities several years ago, but continues to bear his name. It's a story with interesting beginnings, middles, and ends. Do you know you've made it when you have a page on Wikipedia?
Really?
You do,
I wasn't aware of that. I don't check out those things.
Let's allow our audience to know at least that you had humble beginnings. The good life on a farm in Iowa. Is that a lot of who you are still?
I think so. I'm a native Iowa, and I surely like the work ethic of Iowa. People in Iowa, they despise laziness, I think that it's helped me along the way because I enjoy working. Even now, I have such a large garden, if that's any kind of measure. Uh-huh. My wife calls it Roy's Farm. I have 52 tomato plants alone that I just finished this weekend. So, we're all proud of our roots, and I think that was a good background for me. Whatever talent I've had, I think that background helped me make the most of it.
You went on to Iowa State. Did you choose that Hall of Higher Learning for one reason, or did you choose it because you were vacillating and you really didn't know what you wanted to do?
Oh, no, I knew what I wanted to do. At least a teacher did.
yeah, I heard that.
I grew up in a very small community, the small high school. There were only 63 students my entire high school, 11 in my class. I graduated in the top 10, I tell people. I'm pretty sure I never really checked it out. But I, in a class that small, you certainly don't have a journalism teacher, but I had an English teacher who spotted some talent for writing when I was a freshman, and Mrs. Cleaver, and I wouldn't be where I am today if it wouldn't be for her, because she was bound and determined I was going to be her first college journalism graduate, and that's how I ended up going to Iowa State and taking agricultural journalism.
Yeah, and then you had a guy in school kind of went up in arms when you said you might want to be a veterinarian, and he kept you going in the journalism, right?
You must have read my book and read it closely. It's true, I had a good counselor because, though at the time that I was a country boy and that if I got in journalism, I might end up in some big city like Milwaukee, where I eventually ended up. I decided to switch to veterinary medicine and in the fall, and I went back my sophomore year, and this counselor, Harry Heath, had a fit. He said, no, we really need to keep you in journalism, and was good enough to look through courses where I could take that first, we were on a quarterly system then, I could take the same courses that were required in pre-vet and journalism.
Ah. 4-1 men to women at Iowa State, was it that way then?
Can you believe it? It was then. The joke on campus was that if you asked a girl for a date in the fall, she'd say, well, no, but I might be able to fit you in next spring. I think there was some truth in it.
To solidify the male dominance that was evident there, we should note that there was an administration hall called Beard Shear Hall. Is that male or is that male?
spent 4 years there. Nobody brought that up before. It never occurred to me.
Roy Ryman, formerly Ryman Publications, that's still going, although he's not day-to-day involved. And believe me, folks, you have heard of Ryman Publications. In fact, you've probably undoubtedly had a Ryman Publications magazine in your hands at one time. Your first real success, Roy, was all about building, the Farm Building News.
Yes, it was. That was a quick success, too. I had some other bumps along the way, but that one was my first big success. Again, with my rural roots, when we built a barn, you don't even call them barns anymore. These are now buildings and structures. And those are the terms that farmers use. But when you built a new barn, you had a kind of a barn-raising bee like the Amish still do, and all the neighbors gathered. Well, as farms got bigger and bigger, farmers were less likely to help each other put up such structures. And secondly, they were getting so large and complicated that you needed equipment, probably scaffolding. And so I saw an opening there for a magazine that was for the average builder at the time when I started. It was putting up 24 buildings a year, and in 2 years it was 56 buildings a year. So that really built quite quickly, and that one was, yes, a good success.
I don't want to take away from your writing and your entrepreneurial sense, because you've displayed those very well throughout your career. But I'm wondering if it's safe to say that your real niche, at least the talent that started so many of your flourishing enterprises, was your ability to match the publication with the people. Is that fair?
I think so. I think we've not just I, but my staff, we've always been good listeners. And, there's sort of two ways to publish magazines. I think some publishers get on a sort of see the magazine as a podium and pretty much force feed what they think readers would be interested in, whereas we've always pretty much let the readers tell us what they're interested in. It's probably an oversimplification, but to a great degree, our magazines have just been kind of a receiving and distribution outlet for rural people to stay in touch with each other.
As I looked at the graph that portrayed the beginning of your publications, I noted that the 90s, that was really the explosion for you, wasn't it?
I hadn't really thought of it on that basis, but yes, that's when our growth was biggest. We started Country Magazine, for example. That was the first one that hit a million subscribers. And again, all these were being supported just by subscriptions and not advertising.
I want our listeners to know that the book is worth the price just to see the photo of your high school basketball uniforms. I think those are pretty cool. I don't know if I've seen uniforms like that before.
Well, even when you see pictures of even the John McLaughlins today and what they wore years ago, they were cool at the time, Al.
I think they're still cool. The one ingredient, Roy, that you made sure was present all along that others may have missed in their offices was fun. Tell me about, give me an example of what you did to make work fun. I'm sure there's a million of them.
Well, whenever we had guys on the road for or gals for a week or two, our staff would go in and put a note on their desk and say, call this number when you get back. And it was always the Milwaukee Employment Office. But they put tags on chairs and say, okay, I'm claiming this chair, that desk, and so forth. But we tried to keep it on a family basis. We had pretty loose I'd say hours and so forth. People enjoyed it and would probably put in the extra. We did little things like, and I still think other companies might want to consider it. Instead of starting each day at 8 o'clock, we always started at 7:45. That got you 15 minutes ahead of the traffic in the morning. We went to lunch at 11:45, which beat the restaurant crowd.
Sure.
And we only had a 45-minute noon hour, which the staff voted on. So that allowed everybody to go home at 4:30. They had in their 8 hours in and beat the traffic there and got home a little bit sooner with their family.
You have a list, too. I'm paging through the book at the moment, and I don't think I'm... Oh, here we go. The top 10 management rules, including things like keeping meetings to a minimum, don't run a company by committee, don't make organizational charts, promote from within, never hire anyone you don't like. That's a good one. Surround yourself with people you trust. Seek people who know what you don't know. Don't be a big shot. First be different, then be better, and keep business fun. So I'm going to sound like Ralph Edwards now at the end of This Is Your Life, and I'm dating myself by saying that. Roy, you are comfortable, you're successful, you're happy, but you're at an age when people normally hang up their spikes. I mean, I will assume that retirement and a sale were tough decisions. Even when you pulled the plug, were you convinced that you could do it? Because in the end, it turned out you couldn't do it very well.
It's tough to turn off the tap. I don't want to put myself on the same basis, but I saw an interview recently with Jay Leno. The interviewer asked him why he stuck with it, and Jay said, well, I'm an entertainer. I enjoy making people laugh. Why would I want to quit something like that? A smaller basis, I related to that, and I thought, well, God's given me the talent to write and share stories that hopefully are upbeat and add a little sometimes even humor or lightheartedness to a day. Why would I want to quit that? So after selling the company and spending more time with the grandkids and trying to get my golf handicap a little bit lower and traveling, I just miss the creative outlet. Writing and editing is what I do. The interaction with readers, even today here on the computer, you know, I'm visiting back and forth with subscribers, and and I had ideas going to waste, and I just thought, well, why not get back into it in a small way, and this does fit in, kind of fills the cracks in between, and no matter what age you are, I think you need to get up in the morning and be challenged and excited about what's ahead for the day, and yeah. That seems to work for me.
For people that haven't seen it, tell us a little bit about Our Wisconsin. I like it, and that's exactly where I learned about your renaissance, because in the first edition or the first solicitation I received, I think it was an explanation of how you just couldn't handle total retirement.
It's the first thing I totally flunked. I feel there were a number of reasons. Wisconsin, number one, is it's such a beautiful state, and that's why we feature a lot of full color photos. It's a tourist dream, so we'd always featured a lot of great color photos in our magazine. I know we could surely do that, but there was another reason, Al. Just so much controversy in Wisconsin today. You know, we have the lefts and rights and so forth, and people with strong feelings. So we don't get into any of that with Our Wisconsin. We just deal with upbeat stories about upbeat people, and there are just a lot of wonderful people here, and I think the copy reflects that.
True to Roy Ryman's form, something I didn't notice right away as I read the book, along the margins of nearly all of the 380 pages are little words to live by, famous quotes, common sense catchphrases.
I've been an aphorism junkie for years. These little sayings, whenever I hear one that I like, I write a note and stick it to the side of my computer until I commit it to memory. Here's two of them stuck on here now. I got this one yesterday. I wish I were the person my dog thinks I am. And
that's
the
true.
Other is live your life so that your friends would readily defend you, but never need to. So instead of just leaving these around my office and so forth, I always thought that the margins, the white margins on the side of magazine pages, they might as well do something. So we print 50, 60 of those in the margins each issue. We got a letter a while back that said that she'd been rewriting these and sticking them on her refrigerator. And she said, you know, just these things alone are worth the subscription.
Wow.
Kind of rewarding.
Why not? Pleasure talking to you, Roy. Congratulations on a wonderful career. Thanks for all the happiness you've given people. I know that when you go to the mailbox and you see one of those magazines, it does brighten your day. And they stay on the coffee table, which is cool. That's the sign of a good publication, is something that people want out there because they want to revisit it and they want other people to look at it. So way to go.
Well, when I hear that, you know, the amount you receive for a subscription is nothing compared to how rewarding that is. I got a note last week that somebody wrote, said, I'm 83 years old and I read this one story. I haven't laughed that loud in 10 years. And I read it three times. I laughed harder each time. And I thought, wow. Was that rewarding?
By the way, we should add, you have another publication on the streets and roads of Wisconsin called The Directory of Wisconsin's Best Ma and Pa Restaurants.
What happened, Al, I don't know what time you have here, but
yeah,
we
I
were
got
doing a segment in the magazine called My Favorite Ma and Pa Restaurant. And it became so popular, we found that some of the readers were even driving across the county or the next county to eat at some of these small diners. Finally, we decided let's put a directory together. So we had our readers, we have subscribers in each county in Wisconsin, and we asked them to nominate their favorite diner or diners in each county, and ended up with 343 of them. The directory even has a map in the middle that shows you exactly where they are, how to get there. We found that motorcycle riders especially like this directory, because bikers are always looking for a destination, an excuse to go there. And this lake takes them along winding rural roads, and, you know, they don't need to be dressed up, and they like the specials. And then we have the back of it, there's over $105 off coupons that they can use at these various restaurants. So, yes, it's been, people have ordered over 4,000 copies of it today.
Well, there you go. And that's our conversation with Roy Ryman, who will, if he hasn't already, go down in the annals of successful Wisconsin entrepreneurs as one of the best. He puts Wisconsin on the map very literally and entertains people all across the state, the Midwest, and America. You can peruse more online at OurWisconsinMag.com.
Support comes from the Water Street Deli in Eau Claire, offering fresh hummus, baba ganoush, and pita chips. Available at the deli, the downtown farmers market, and just local food. On Facebook and at WaterStreetDeliAndGrocery.com.
Here's what's on stage in Western Wisconsin theater venues. So Good Improv, the Festival Theater's improvisational theater group, will kick off its season of Friday performances this Friday at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. The River Falls Community Theater production of the musical Forbidden Broadway's Greatest Hits will play through Friday at Friends Bar and Grill in River Falls. Don't Hug Me, I'm Pregnant will play through Saturday at the Red Barn Theater in Rice Lake. The Old Gem Theater production of Charlotte's Web will be available for groups through Friday at the Old Gem in New Richmond. That Love and Feelin', the story of the Righteous Brothers, will play Friday and Saturday at the St. Croix Off-Broadway Dinner Theater in Hudson. The show will play Fridays and Saturdays and selected Sundays through August 14th. And that's some of what's happening in live theater around the region. For Spectrum West, I'm Jim Oliver.
Spectrum West, thanks for being with us. 46 years is a long time to be doing anything. But when it's radiating the kind of commitment it takes to put on entire summers of music camps, 46 years becomes prodigious. Well, that's what they've been doing in Shell Lake, and the summer of 2014 is no exception. Even more remarkably, it continues to grow. One guy who's been doing it for a good chunk of those 46 years is Greg Keel. On the faculty of several camp offerings, we caught him driving between teaching sessions. Well, most of us work to be sure our summers pass slowly. Your June at least appears as if it might be just a blur.
That's right.
Wow,
that's right. We're about to kick off, I believe it's our 47th summer of jazz camps and music camps and music workshops and arts camps and pretty much the whole palette of musical offerings from concert band to musical theater at the Shell Lake Arts Center. And we're very excited to be kicking it off on the 13th of June, our adult big band jazz workshop, which will then spin right into the 3 weeks of jazz ensemble and jazz improvisation and combo camps from there.
Wow. I was looking at all of that stuff online and all the schedules and the typical day for, you know, the kids there. Does the faculty, I mean, do you guys get the chance to enjoy the, you know, the North Woods like the kids do every once in a while or not?
Well, we do. You know, we have a couple nights off, but that's it. It's really kind of a very energized, hit the ground running several weeks, and we plan for it, we're prepared for it, and we all look forward to it. And the interaction with the students that we have at Shell Lake is wonderful, all ages of students, and when we get there, we're really geared for it. So when we start the camp, you know, there's so much that goes on, and so it's so rewarding working with the students. You'd be amazed. It really goes by quite quickly. And, you know, we have two really nice nights that we give ourselves a little bit of a break. But otherwise, like I said, it's pretty energized.
Well, that's good.
Day and a week at a time, you know, as we go.
You know, one of the
we don't quite notice it.
You don't? Okay. Well, yeah. Good. Yeah, how can you? It's going so fast.
Yeah.
You know, one of the cool things is we hear about networking all the time. And in this day and age, some people are duped into believing that networking is a new phenomenon. I mean, your network of music educators has been solid in some cases for many years. I mean, long before the buzzword was networking, some of your relationships go back to playing in bands together as 20-somethings.
my relationship with Shell Lake goes back to when I was, I believe, 19. You know, and I'm 57 now, and I've been a part of Shell Lake as a student, as a camp participant, as a counselor, and, you know, so I've been a longtime camper and longtime faculty assistant and then full-time faculty. And, yes, and, you know, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought about your mention of the networking. It is so natural, the camaraderie and the natural communication that musicians have with each other, whether they be student musicians, adults, or you know, any level. But yes, our relationships at the camp, many of us have been, you know, we're still teaching with some of the guys that used to come up and that we came up with as our instructors are now our colleagues. So it's pretty cool.
How and when did Shell Lake become the place to be for students and mentors alike?
Daryl Aderman, who was back in the mid-1960s, a resident of Shell Lake, a professor. Well, first of all, he was the band director in the local public school system in Shell Lake, and was and is very well respected. And he had the vision to put together an arts center that would utilize the finest instructors from around the country, heavily leaned on many of the instructors who were a part of the University of Wisconsin system initially, but brought in people from Indiana University, Florida, Eastman School of Music, all over, to start a summer jazz camp. And that was really a neat vision before this was popular in the rest of the country. And he was also a professor within the University of Wisconsin system. So Daryl and the University of Wisconsin folks, through Extension, which, you know, had a voice on every campus location in the state, literally married the entire University of Wisconsin system, all the campuses, and all, whether they be the four-year campuses, the graduate level ones, or the two-year campuses. They all had a role in supporting Shell Lake with sometimes faculty or assistants or students. Mm-hmm. And Daryl's vision was really pretty bold at the time. He was going to create an art center a little out of the big metro, you know, away from Minneapolis, St. Paul, away from Eau Claire, for example, as the nearest large metros, and utilize the natural beauty of the North Woods, and then bring in all these world-class instructors who, no matter whether they were art instructors or music instructors, or, you know, whether they were composers or film people, et cetera, he was going to get the finest people that he could find anywhere who could not only create and do whatever their chosen profession was all about. If it was a jazz player, for example, not only was it a great jazz player, but it was someone who could really teach the art form. And that was quite unique. In fact, even today, there are locations around the country that run, for example, music camps where you might have some wonderful players on staff, but they might not be the educators. Well, I think we're really lucky in Wisconsin, all the camps, you know, whether it's the camps over in Door County or the Tritone Camp, all those camps that we have in the state are wonderfully, wonderfully staffed with great artists and great teachers as well, which is really a hallmark of Wisconsin jazz education. And, you know, I think it's pretty well documented that Daryl was one of the people at the forefront of that happening.
I was actually privileged to be able to come up there a year or two ago when they dedicated the concert hall
to him.
So, yeah.
Right. We're really lucky. Like I said, there is a wide variety of wonderful jazz camp tradition in the state of Wisconsin, all the different things. And I think Shell Lake was certainly at the forefront of that happening. And that vision today that Daryl had way back then of pairing master teachers with students, that every student should be able to study with a master teacher and have that one-on-one interaction and learning carries on to this day. So we're very proud of that.
I was happy to see that it's not all work for you guys, because you eventually do get to show your stuff in that big concert evening with the stars. And this summer, it's Saturday, August 9th.
Right, right. And that's a really neat gala that the public, you know, of course, the public is always invited to come to all of our concerts. And we do this big gala, as you noted, Al, that's a really neat celebration of the Arts Center. And for the first time, and sort of due to popular demand, we're going to do it a little later in the summer to allow everybody to to take in all the concerts that we do, and then we're going to throw one big gala at the end, which is really neat because it's a chance for community members and regional, supporters to come in, townspeople or people who live in the area to come in and celebrate with our, staff big band and rock bands and have some great food, and there's auctions that go on to support the Arts Center. And it's a heck of a fun evening, and we have, we have people dancing and celebrating with us, and all for a good cause. It's a very festive gala evening, and it's really the biggest event of that kind anywhere, sort of up north, as it were.
Well, as always, Shell Lake sounds like fun. Thanks for taking time with us, and especially as you're going from point A to point B, I guess. Thank God for cell phones, and thank God for people like Greg Keel willing to go up and do their stuff for young people in Shell Lake. Thanks, Greg.
All right. As always, we thank you for all your support. Thanks so much, Al. Great to talk to you.
As Greg said, each camp has culminating performances open to all of us, and the big evening with the stars is Saturday, August 9th. Tell you what, if your student really likes music, there's a music camp designed for him or her in Shell Lake, not to mention dance, show choir, filmmaking, pottery, painting and drawing, and theater camps as part of the summer, too. Here comes that word again. Remarkable. Three cheers for the visionaries in Shell Lake. Spectrum Memo next up at the Festival Theater. St. Croix Falls is Ole and Lena's 50th wedding anniversary and vow renewal during Wanigan Days in St. Croix Falls. Two shows Saturday, June 14th at 2 and 7:30 p.m. Their website is festivaltheater.org. Writers Read Summer Session scheduled for June 10th, July 8th, and August 12th at the L.A. Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire. Well, next week, either Thursday or Friday, depending on when you choose to listen. If it's both, wow, thanks. Next week, a big bluegrass festival waiting to happen. A banjo player in one of the coolest named bands, Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. The Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra wraps up another season in style. The Festival Theater's latest, as I just alluded. And more. Always more. On Spectrum West, my name's Al Ross. Thanks. See you next week.